The reading is taken from Genesis and begins on page 17 of your pew Bibles, beginning at verse 34. So he said, I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has greatly blessed my master, and he has become wealthy. He has given him flocks and herds, silver and gold, male and female slaves, camels and donkeys. And Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master when she was old, and he has given him all that he has. My master made me swear, saying, You shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I live, but you shall go to my father's house, to my kindred, and get a wife for my son. I came today to the spring, and said, O Lord, the God of my master Abraham, if now you will only make successful the way I am going. I am standing here by the spring of water. Let the young woman who comes out to draw, to whom I shall say, Please give me a little water from your jar to drink, and who will say to me, Drink, and I will draw for your camels also. Let her be the woman whom the Lord has appointed for my master's son. Before I had finished speaking in my heart, there was Rebekah coming out with her water jar on her shoulder, and she went down to the spring and drew. I said to her, Please let me drink. She quickly let down her jar from her shoulder and said, Drink, and I will also water your camels. So I drank, and she also watered the camels. Then I asked her, Whose daughter are you? And she said, The daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bore to him. So I put the ring on her nose and the bracelets on her arms. Then I bowed my head and worshipped the Lord and blessed the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who had led me by the right way to obtain the daughter of my master's kinsman for his son. Now then, if you will deal loyally and truly with my master, tell me. And if not, tell me, so that I may turn either to the right hand or to the left. And they called Rebekah and said to her, Will you go with this man? She said, I will. So they sent away their sister Rebekah and her nurse, along with Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said to her, May you, our sister, become thousands of myriads. May your offspring gain possession of the gates of their foes. Then Rebekah and her maids rose up, mounted the camels, and followed the man. Thus the servant took Rebekah and went his way. Now Isaac had come from Beer Lahai-Roi and was settled in the Negev. Isaac went out in the evening to walk in the field, and looking up, he saw camels coming. And Rebekah looked up, and when she saw Isaac, she slipped quickly from the camel and said to the servant, Who is the man over there walking in the field to meet us? The servant said, It is my master. So she took the veil and covered herself, and the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. Then Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent. He took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. This is the word of the Lord.
Would you like to stand for the gospel? The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
Help us, Heavenly Father, as we look at your word today, to have ears open and hearts willing to receive it. For Jesus' sake, amen. Do sit down. If you looked at your brieflet when you came in, you'll see that we're starting looking at the life of Jacob. And then we had that long reading and you thought, well, where's Jacob? He hasn't come into it at all. But when I was looking at this, I thought, well, you know when you go to a doctor and they want to know your family history so they know where you're coming from and what they can expect. I think it's a bit like that. Today, the reading I have got is before Jacob, but the theme that we're in is about the life of Jacob. So I thought my job today was to tell you a bit of the family history, where he came from, and setting the scene for this series that we're going to be having. So I start this morning with Jacob's grandpa, Abraham. And Abraham was called by God to move from probably somewhere in today's Iraq, but right down to Canaan in what is now Palestine. He was great age when he was asked to move like that. Well, at least I always used to think it was a great age till I realized yesterday he was younger than I am. But so I must be a great age. Anyway, he moved, and this was going to be a fresh start for him and his family, and God said to him that he was going to start a new nation and in a new land that God was going to give them. And it's interesting that when we look at the gospel of particularly Matthew and Luke, Matthew in his genealogy at the beginning starts the genealogy with Abraham, as though that's where life began. Matthew is a Jew speaking to Jewish people, but Luke in his starts way back and he's speaking to Gentiles. So it's quite interesting that Matthew sees Abraham as the beginning of all things Jewish. So, in a nutshell, Abram and Sarah settled in this new land, but they had no children. And God was promising them a whole nation, but they had no children. And so Sarah gives Abraham her maid, Hagar, to have a son by. And Ishmael is born. But God says to Abraham, "This man shall not be your heir. No one but your very own issue shall be your heir." He brought him outside and said, "Look towards heaven and count the stars if you're able to count them." And then he said, "So shall your descendants be." And he believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. And then later on, when God was making his covenant with Abraham, he said this, "I will indeed bless you, and I will make your offspring as numerous as the stars in heaven and the sand that is on the seashore." And I always used to think, well, it's a strange thing to say. You can't really equate those at all. You look at the stars and you can count, yes, there's one, two, three. How could you begin to count the grains of sand on the seashore? But we didn't have the telescopes we have today when I was younger and thinking that. Nowadays, with these enormous telescopes that see far beyond what we have known in the past, we see that there are millions and millions and millions of stars. But they didn't have a child. And God was promising them this enormous nation of descendants, but they didn't have anyone to start it off. And so God came and he said to them that he was going to provide them with a son, and they laughed. And Abram said, "Will a son be born to a man 100 years old? And will Sarah bear a child at 90? We don't know quite how the years were in those days, whether, I mean, maybe they were that age, but God can do marvellous things. But they laughed, they didn't take it seriously. But eventually Isaac was born and their hope was renewed. And then, as Isaac is growing up, God gives this terrible test to Abram, and you probably remember it from your Sunday school days or from being in church, where God says to him, take your son, and I want you to make a sacrifice of him to me as a burnt offering. That must have been such a terrible thing. He had just got this son. He was just growing up. He'd begin to believe that this was really going to happen, and now God says to him, I want you to take him, and I want you to sacrifice him for me. And when they were on their way, Isaac said to his father, Father, here's the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for a burnt offering? Abram said, God himself will provide a lamb for a burnt offering, my son. Just as he was about to plunge the knife into Isaac, God said, stop. And there was a lamb or something in the bushes to provide for the sacrifice. And this seems to be such a terrible, terrible test of Abraham. But when we see it in the light of what God has done for us, it seems to be a picture of God's love for us, sacrificing his own dear son for us. And of course, Jesus was called the Lamb of God. So if we see it in that light, it gives us a little more understanding of what God was asking of Abraham. But Isaac grew and Sarah died. And Abraham, as we came in our reading today, Abraham wanted a wife for him. I expect we've all said it, we want them settled before we die, you know, of our own offspring. He wanted Isaac settled with a wife before he died because his wife had already gone. So he sends his servant off. And he says, now I want you to go to my kinsfolk. I want a wife for my son from there. I don't want someone from the people amongst whom we're living. It must be from my own family. And don't let my son go there, though. My son is to remain here in the land which God has given me. So he was wanting to keep pure this line that God was beginning in making this Hebrew nation, but it had to be in this chosen place where God had put them. And so, as we heard in our lesson today, Rebecca fitted the bill, she fed the camels, and so she answered the question that the servant had got in his head, and she came back. And eventually, Jacob was born, which is going to be the beginning of our series. So that's the family history, the background to Jacob. So what do we see from this, from these bits of family history? Well, the thing that I noticed was Abram, Isaac, and Jacob, they weren't perfect. They had their faults. On their travels, Abraham had said that Sarah was his sister, not his wife, because he was frightened that he might be killed so that somebody could take her as wife. And Abimelech, the king, took her, but didn't sleep with her, and so no child was born. That could have been the wrong son, just as Ishmael was. God had got his plan, And they nearly made it go wrong by this lie that Abraham told. And Isaac did the same thing, passed Rebekah off as his sister so that he should be safe. But he gave the game away because they were found canoodling in the courtyard and everybody knew that they were really husband and wife. And Abram and Sarah, they got a bit impatient with God. I think that's what it looks like when Abram had Ishmael by Hagar. And they laughed when God said, no, I'm still going to do it. I'm still going to make my plan work. So they had their faults. And yet, when we read in the book of Hebrews about those accounted as righteous for their faith and are listed in the household of faith, we have these three men, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They learned to have faith in God and to trust him. So what does this say for us today? Well, I think the first thing it says to me is that God just doesn't choose perfect people. He chooses you and me. And we know we're not perfect. Why does he do that? Only he really knows. But it's because he loves us. And why does he love us? Because he loves us. We don't know. We're not worthy of it. But he chooses you and me to be his people and to receive his love. And that is very good news. But I think the other thing that I spotted as I was doing this, we see here in this family history, this little bit of history of Abraham, God setting in motion his plan for our salvation. He was building this nation from whom would come Jesus. Jesus was a Jew, and it is said his father was Abraham. He was from the house of Abraham. He was building a people and a nation to provide for our salvation in Jesus. So it's very important for us not to see the Old Testament as just something rather difficult that I'll leave and I'll concentrate on the New Testament. It's important to see that it's a prelude to the New Testament. It's the beginning of this whole story. It's part of the same story. And we saw a little hint of that when God said to Abram, take Isaac, sorry, wrong one, says to them, and by your offspring shall all the nations of the earth gain blessing for themselves. And isn't that a blessing to us to know that God planned for you and for me to be able to know Jesus and to be made whole by him right that long ago? And that is a wonderful blessing. And we're still enjoying it. We're enjoying the blessing of Jesus, a descendant of Abraham.